Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Jim Tam. He is a principal client director with Korn Ferry's Digital Group, where he advises organizations on how to improve their sales effectiveness through using world-class sales methodology and technology. I have Ed Samuel. He is a career coach at Sam Nova, where he helps mid to senior level leaders get to a better place, whether they are working or in transition. And I have KG Moses. She is the founder and CEO of Maya's Legacy, where they support women and families suffering from pregnancy loss. The question I have today, how do you overcome self-doubt? Ed, kick us off.
Well, all I could think about was this notion of when I owned my first horse and when I was a teenager. As I continued to work to get in on that horse and not getting thrown off, it was all self-doubt. And it's really interesting, the horse movement. And at some point, there's a turning point. It's like when you learn to ride a bicycle for the first time. That turning point was all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm in control. We can do this. And no matter what the obstacle is in front of me, whether it be a horse, whether it be a bicycle, whether it be my first talk, once you get to that point and, hey, guess what? I can do this. The confidence just explodes. And then the next thing you know, it's like, well, I got on another horse. Yeah, it gave me some trouble. But you know what? That self-doubt was gone. So when you can cross that first hurdle and that confidence starts to build, that's where self-doubt, you can kind of grab it by the bull by the horns.
I think obviously we're talking about the imposter syndrome, but I think self-doubt comes, and I mean, the operative word is self. And most of that stuff comes is internal. Like it's something that you put up, you put that obstacle in front of yourself rather than that the pressure is imposed by somebody else. And I think a lot of times that comes from just having a very high bar, and you always feel like you need to establish a new bar every time, but nobody else is setting that bar other than you to meet. So I hate to say this, but a lot of self-doubt comes from just lowering the bar and don't expect as much and just be yourself. And chances are experience will kind of pull you through.
Yeah. So I was reading a quote from William Shakespeare, and he says, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. Basically, that means that doubt makes us quit. And I was thinking about the internal negative dialogue that we have on a daily basis that we're conscious of and we're unconscious of. It's like if you think of a film and you think of a script that you're writing, you're actually writing a full script and you're not aware that you're writing this script. And then when it's time for you to actually put certain things into action, those internal dialogue and those conversations you had with yourself and how you view yourself and how you perceive yourself have a stronghold, I think, sometimes, and they show up. And how do you then overcome those things? And I think the important things for me is reflecting on my own journey is I had to be honest with myself. What is true and what is false? So let's be honest about it. And having that honest conversation with yourself, I think it helps you to navigate through those experiences. And one of the challenges I used to have in regard to self-doubt was self-sabotage. So if I see an opportunity, I'm like, hell no, it looks good, but not me. And consciously and unconsciously, I've sabotaged many opportunities along my way. And it's one of the things that really helped me to be able to overcome that was obviously my experience with my daughter, Maya, when I lost her. It was like, I had nothing to lose. I'm going for it. And it really helped me to shift my mindset and the way I saw things. And here we are.
That makes sense. So my TEDx talk is about imposter syndrome and my struggle with it. I don't think you overcome imposter syndrome. I think it's something you learn to live with. It's something you learn to work with, but you never get to the point where it's like, I never have any doubts anymore. I think the other thing about imposter syndrome or self-doubt is that you have to be careful who you're allowing to give you messages. Because there's a lot of people in my life who want to build on that self-doubt and want to say you shouldn't do that and that's not your place and you should stay in your place. And I had to really sideline those people to be able to get to the point where I could even work on my own self-doubt.
I think that's a great point. People affect your influences around you, affect what you think about yourself. And I do think that you can use that as a fuel too. And I do agree with you. You'll never conquer self-doubt, but if you're allowed to use it as a incentive, like an incentive or motivation to do better, mm-hmm. awesome.
Some people, they've lived a life of 25 years at a company. They just got laid off. They don't know how to interview. They don't know how to talk to someone. They don't know how to pick up the phone and call someone they don't know. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, a career coach, you have to kind of do things in pieces and help people slowly build up some confidence to get that self-doubt out, because you have to then pull the trigger at some point. I would argue that practice, like getting on the horse repeatedly, there's something to it when it comes to licking self-doubt and then giving it your best try. I remember coaching clients making that first phone call to someone they didn't know. They were in my office making the call. Mm-hmm. I was coaching them, helping them along. And that helped them. Hey, this isn't so bad. What's the worst that happens? The person hangs up on me. Get a cup of coffee, stretch, let's get back at it and make another call.
I think that's something that you kind of have to accept. I know when I first started having speaking engagements, my first speaking engagements were so bad. Like, they were awful. But if you don't do those first awful ones, you'll never get better. And I think so often it's so easy to allow that self-doubt to tell us you have to be perfect. It has to be good the mm-hmm. first time out. And it's not going to be. It just won't be. And the sooner you can accept that, the easier it is to your point, Ed, get on that horse and see if you can ride.
It's like I have a conversation with my 8-year-old. He's learning piano at the moment, and he's quite musically talented. And I was saying to him, you have to master your craft. And in order to be able to do that, you need to practice. Because he said, oh, mommy, I know how to play piano. I said, you're learning. And so that confidence will come when you practice and you continue to practice. And then you could obviously get to the level in which you want to get to. And it's okay when you fall. What can you do? You're already on the ground. You just pick yourself up and rise up again. I would not, 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, I wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't have opted to be part of this conversation mm-hmm. because I was always hiding behind. I didn't want to be in the forefront. But just taking that step, one little step at a time, and just realizing that it's okay if you fall, get up and continue to move on. That's helped me to navigate through some of the challenges and the biggest spaces in which I found myself. Having that self-doubt has allowed me to show up, even though I have this inner negative talk, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have read that a lot of people who are in executive roles, especially women in leadership roles, they have a lot of self-doubt because they don't really see a lot of role models. They strive for perfection, and it's such a high bar, and nobody has that same bar except them. And whenever they don't, even if they achieve 99% of everything that they strive to do, they will remember that 1% that they did not do. And that unfortunately inflicts upon them going forward. It's just all self-inflicted.
I was reading something about self-doubt online, and it was talking about the influence that our parents have. And I wanted to ask you, do you feel like there's a link between that and having that self-doubt?
The story that I told at the beginning was about my parents. It was them who told me, you shouldn't, you can't, it's not right for you. I had to actually step away from allowing my parents to have an opinion about my professional life, because no matter how many other people said, you're amazing, you do great things, we love working with you, I have all the accolades, when my mother said, well, don't pat yourself on the back so hard, I would come crashing down to, I don't deserve to be successful. So yeah, KG, I think that our parents and the voices that they have, even when we get to be adults, can really have an impact on us.
100%. You think about all the, Asian tiger moms. You come home with a 99.1. It's like, well, how come you didn't get 100? Mm-hmm. And all that continues to parlay into their adult life. And you do the same to your kids after that. And somebody's got to break that cycle.
This is another case where it's not your fault, but it is your problem. And you can't blame your parents. You have to decide how you're going to fix it. And that was the choice that I had to make. So I would encourage anyone listening to this, if you're blaming your parents, great. The cause is in the past. The solution is in the present. The motivation is in the future. Go and make it happen. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of the three of you again very soon.